All right, having some fun on a Sunday morning. Good morning. It's just after 8 o'clock. You are listening to Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, the flagship station of the Golden Knights. I'm Brian Feldman, and this is Out of Line. We are here every Sunday, same time, live in the Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio in Vegas. The cast of characters, Caleb Herring, former UNLV quarterback, and the radio color voice for Rebels football on our sister station, ESPN The Leader. Also here, back, and as ready as he's ever been, Jose, what? Sudden death.
He's back?
Let me do what's on tap. I won't go on vacation anymore. Vellante.
He's back.
I like that. Man, I think that's a good one.
He's back. We added a new nickname.
We got to stick to that.
And we're back with the nicknames. And, of course, the staple when he's not traveling in the Far East, producer Chris Magnum Chapman, who also serves as the Vegas Golden Knights radio locker room reporter. We are also streaming live on the LV Sports Network, and you can watch the show on Facebook Live on my personal page, on Caleb's personal page, on Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Why not give him another name? But it's on his personal page. And, by the way, it's also on the Out of Line Facebook page. And if you don't know how that's spelled, it's simple. It's O-U-T-T-A-L-I-N-E. The show is live, so give us a call and be heard. The Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
That's right, baby. What's going on? I am back. It's Jose Sundeath Vellante. And as Brian would say, that's all I have to say about that. What's on Tap is brought to you by our title sponsor, the Cardinal Financial Company. The only choice when looking for answers about home financing. Check out cardinalfinancial.com. On Tap on this beautiful Sunday morning, of course, we're going to talk about Nightcap. We know that Brian loves his Golden Knights, and we're going to be talking about the ticket sales and bobbleheads coming up. Fact, this involves the Raiders, some frostbitten feet, outdated helmets, and retirement. I'm pretty sure that sounds familiar, right? Everybody's got a blazing opinion, and that's going to be fun. And a little later on in the show, we're going to have Jen Gemma to come on in and give us the Las Vegas Aviators report. Not only that, Brian goes one-on-one with Asia Wilson after their tough loss here on Friday night. And not only that, Tough Enough CEO Jeff Mayer stops by to talk about and give away tickets to the Mayhem in Mesquite. That's What's on Tap, and it's brought to you by Cardinal Financial, the first and only company. When looking for answers about home financing, check out cardinalfinancial.com.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
And as we start every show with Nightcap, it is a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights, and they've announced the on-sale information for tickets to their preseason and regular season home games. The announcement was also highlighted by the preseason bobblehead series featuring giveaways recognizing Mark Stone, William Karlsson, Jonathan Marchessault, and Nate Schmidt. Preseason bobblehead single game tickets go on sale to the general public tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning, and regular season single game tickets go on sale to the general public on August the 19th, a week later at 10 a.m. The team's home preseason games, they are Arizona, which is on September the 15th, and that's when you will get presented by Zappos the Mark Stone bobblehead. On September the 25th, they'll be playing the Colorado Avalanche, and it'll be sponsored by Southwest Medical and part of Optimum Care. You'll be getting the Nate Schmidt bobblehead. On September 27th, they'll be playing the Los Angeles Kings, and that one is presented by AT&T Sportsnet, and that will be Jonathan Marchessault. And finally, on September 29th, the big rivalry, the first time they step on the ice against the San Jose Sharks, and that will be sponsored by the Vegas Golden Knight Ticket Exchange, and that will be William Karlsson. So kind of cool, and what an incentive, Chris, to get preseason bobbleheads. You know, I'm going to tell you straight up, I'm probably going to go to every preseason game, and if I'm being 100% honest, it's to get the bobbleheads.
Well, I mean, look, it's a good promotion. I don't know what other teams around the league do, but I don't think anybody likes preseasons, whether it's football, basketball, because you don't get to see the stars, right? And in the NFL, I mean, at least in college football, there's no preseason, right? Like, you maybe play, especially if you're an SEC school, you play a joke out of conference schedule.
Yeah.
But
in the spring, you have like the red blue game or whatever. Yeah, yeah, colors on.
That's not preseason.
Yeah, that's just a spring game.
It's camp, but practice, I mean, that's the only game that you really have that doesn't count.
That doesn't count.
Yeah. But you know, like counts. For years, many years ago, I don't even remember how many years ago, but I had Charger season tickets when they were in San Diego still because the team was so awful or they had such little support that it was easy for me in Las Vegas to get season tickets, and I would sell most of the tickets, go down to a couple games, but they forced you to buy preseason games, and they would force you to pay the same price as that regular season game. So the reality was fans hate preseason, especially when they know they're not going to see the good players play. They're going to make, and look, for Golden Knights fans, maybe it's different. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think it's very different because I think it's an opportunity.
I was going to say, is there the same value of like the showmanship of every other game? Like the regular season games
have the unique
Vegas Knight experience to go to a game.
Well, yeah, you still get that. It's the same thing, but I think for Golden Knights fans, it's probably a little different because, you know, this fan base is still waiting for that first draft pick to crack the lineup and become a star in the league. So with preseason, at least for this fan base, you're seeing the young guys play that people know, the Nick Hags and the Cody Glasses get to play in that preseason. And, you know, sometimes you see lineups that you may not see, whereas I think for other fan bases, maybe the Kings or, you know, it's become, well, it's just another preseason game, whereas here it's a little bit different. Well, and then the bobblehead is certainly a big incentive.
The bobblehead, and to me, it is the opportunity where you're going to get an opportunity. There will be tickets available, and they will be reasonable, and you get an opportunity to go to the game. Plus, the one thing we know about all preseason sports, players are more accessible in the preseason than they are in the regular season. You hang around after a preseason game, you can probably get the autograph of every player there.
Yeah, because the audience is smaller.
Correct. Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Go now.
Yeah, if that's what you're looking for. Right. If you're looking for a good hockey game, I don't think you go. But if you're looking for like the fandom and the up close and good seats, I guess, and maybe cheaper seats, we don't know because I don't think the prices are out yet for if they're going to be different than the regular season.
Well, I think because of those bobbleheads, I have a feeling that
they'll keep them the same. Yeah. But either way.
But that's a lot of bobbleheads to give out.
And that's cool, though. And the point I was getting to is there's an incentive.
Yeah.
Right, like they're rewarding you for going to the preseason game. They're rewarding you. Like last year, they gave out the pucks for all the guys who won awards. Derek England, George McPhee.
Carlson. Yep.
So, you know, and of course, Gallant.
Gallant, yeah.
So, you know, you have that commemorative puck that has the players' picture on it, and it tells you what award
and
they won.
And every game, the posters. I mean, the Golden Knights go the extra mile and have been since the jump, and I think that's what makes it so special, on top of the fact what they did and how they changed the face of hockey on the West Coast. I still think, even though what L.A. did a couple years ago, the Vegas Golden Knights, I've never seen hockey enthusiasts on the West Coast like you have in the last two years.
And there's no doubt that the Golden Knights, if you want to go to a Knights game, the preseason here is different than the preseason everywhere else. I would agree with that because every game I think so far that the Golden Knights have had has been a sellout.
It's an opportunity to get in.
Yeah, it's an opportunity to take advantage of. I want to know if the bobbleheads are going to be unique, if it's going to be something you can't get anywhere else. Like, can you not get this bobblehead at a hockey shop next week, like after the preseason game?
I have seen them, Caleb, only available like online to try to buy them, and they are quite expensive. People are paying a pretty penny for these things.
That's an incentive, and that's a great incentive. If you want to sell preseason tickets, then you do stuff like this. And at every turn, as far as media relations, as far as fandom, creating a fandom for your team, promoting your franchise, the Golden Knights have got it right since their inception, and they've been a great marketing media team, and this is one of those things that has kind of helped them along the way.
It is time for Blazing, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 and North Durango. A long porch home run from Centennial Hills Hospital. They've got two happy hours every day, and of course, America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. And we are less than a month away from our first Monday night football party at Buffalo Wild Wings. Looking very forward to it. As I said, I'm going to get Caleb Herring and his family out there. Mag shows up when he gets a chance to. Jose Valonte shows up there. We have a great time. We give away replica jerseys. We give away wing parties.
You know what's really underrated there? The fried pickles.
They really are. You know, you can't get them everywhere.
I knew you were going to say that.
He loves the fried pickles.
Like, I've had them at a couple of different places, But the fried pickles at Buffalo Wild Wings are the best I've had, and that dipping sauce that they have.
It's really good.
You know what? It's a very underrated menu item.
It's a good deal.
If I'm being perfectly honest, look, I love the food there, but that's one of those menu items.
I'm
going
to have to give away, in honor of Mags, we're going to have a fried pickles giveaway at one of the Sundays.
If it's not in the South, I don't want a fried pickle.
Okay. No, man, dude, you're missing, man.
I didn't even know they had fried pickles at B-Dubs.
Well, that's the whole thing. Well, we're getting it out there. Listen,
yeah, get it
Blazin,
out there.
I want us all to give a Blazin, and we'll get this done as quick. We're running a little bit behind, but I will tell you, baseball for me is all about Blazin today. I'm gonna stick with the baseball theme. How about that rookie for the Reds? I think it's how do you say the guy's name? It's Aquino is his last name. It's like it's Aristides, I think, or something like that. Aristides.
I'm just enjoying you butcher this man's name.
Here's the bottom line. I'm butchering his name,
but he has had seven
home runs in his first 10 games in Major League Baseball. That is unbelievable, especially since he started 0-for-6 when he first got called up. Seven home runs in 10 games. Only one other player in Major League Baseball history has done that. He also hit three last night in his first three at-bats. The second time a Cincinnati Red has done that in history. Pretty amazing when you look at this guy. And as good as he is right now, it's hard to say that he's any more Blazin than Chris Magnum's New York Mets. I mean, how about 15 of 16 games? How about 8 in a row? And a team that was, like, way back, just on July 24th, there were 7 teams in front of them for the wild card. They're a half a game out right now with a wild card and playing as good a baseball as I've seen any team play in a long time.
Best record since the All-Star break. And the reality is, you know, a lot of people question why they went out and got Marcus Stroman. The reality is, if you play the Mets in a short series with the pitching staff that they have of DeGrom, Syndergaard, Stroman, Mats, and Zach Wheeler, you might be looking at a loss in that short series because those guys are horses. They can go. And, you know, I still worry about how those guys will do in the postseason hitting the ball. But, man, oh, man, that pitching staff. They have the staff.
You said it. Who are these guys? You said it on social media the other day when you posted that video of Frazier hitting the home run.
Yeah, like
Who are these guys? Can they stay in the postseason?
You know, it's crazy because it reminds me a lot of 2015 when they went to the World Series. They were completely out of it. Sandy Alderson made the move to get Cespedes. And all of a sudden, the Mets went on a tear, and they didn't stop until they ended up, unfortunately, losing to the Royals in the World Series. But, man, oh, man, it's like, are these guys, and what do they do with the Mets from the first half of the season?
That was a lot of fun to watch that team a couple of years ago.
It was awesome.
And it's a lot of fun to watch this team because, again, 8 in a row, 15, and again, in dramatic fashion yesterday night, this team takes it right down to the wire, and they find a way to win. It ends up being a sacrifice fly that gets the final run in. But, again, I think who's the guy that hit the home run that brought the team back? Some guy I'd never heard of before that they came into pinch hit.
When was that, Friday night?
Last night.
Oh.
What the hell was his name? I saw the guy. To tie it in the eighth, I think? I'm trying to find it right now. What's his name? Luis Giorme? Is that what his name is? Something like that? Luis Giorme?
You should see Caleb's face. If you're on social media, he is loving Brian Butcher these names right now.
Jose, if you could do half of what I could do on the radio, you get more airtime. Seriously, brother. He looks for something to put me down for so I can get out of
here.
It's amazing. I butcher names. Pronounce the guy's name, Jose.
Who
am I talking about? Pronounce his name for me.
I have no idea.
Thank you very much. That should be his new name. Jose, no idea. Volante.
Oh, that's great.
I butcher names that he doesn't know who they are or what I'm talking about.
I was actually just looking at.
I know you were. I was about to
change my Blazin because I was watching the Angler Chronicles and this guy was filleting a fish and it was amazing.
We'll get the guy airtime.
Luis Guillaume.
It's Guillaume. I think it's Guillaume or Guillaume, but the guy again.
R-M-E,
his first career home run in a pinch hit at bat last night in the eighth inning to tie the game. This is the kind of thing the Mets are doing.
There's been a lot of memorable home runs hit this year. And I'm just thinking about, you know, the guy that hit his first home run while his dad's getting interviewed. The guy that hit a home run, when he hit a home run in his hometown and his whole family was like going crazy. And
these
like, there's
are great
been a lot
stories.
Of memories that have been made this season. in the baseball league. No, and this is still your blazing, right?
Like so, all of these stories, because there's just too many going on. I could have talked about if he wouldn't have given up the hit yesterday. How about Seth Lugo, man? I mean, 26 retired batters in a row before he gave up the home run yesterday. That is the second most in Mets history ever by a pitcher to get 26 batters in a row.
Las Vegas 51
cent. And one final one, and before I leave Blazin and let you guys take over, how about the Cleveland Indians? They were 11.5 games behind the Minnesota Twins on June the 3rd, and they are right back in the race again right now, a team that has been absolutely on fire. The Twins lose four straight but finally win one yesterday, but another team that is blazing. Like I said, it's all about baseball, man. I haven't talked about baseball all summer, and it's crazy what we're seeing go on this year, especially some of these young players that are incredible talents. I mean, this kid, 22 years old, how do you beat that? 22 years old, man. How good is he going to be down the road?
Well, I mean, it certainly sounds like he's going to be a stud, but I'll tell you, man, there's another guy who is blazing, and I guess I'll go over, but how about Yordan Alvarez?
I knew you were going to say three home runs yesterday,
well,
too.
Well, not only three home runs yesterday, but it's what he's done since he's been called up, and I think he came up on June 9th, and I think they said he's not going to be eligible to win the batting title, but this guy, he's Cuban. By the way, do you think the Dodgers are kicking themselves for trading him?
17 home runs in 45 games?
Is
that a fact?
Yeah.
That's insane.
17 home runs in 45 games.
They traded Yordan Alvarez for Josh Fields.
I know, right?
So
who?
Like that. Yeah, he's hitting .353 on the season since June 9th. He's only 22 years old.
Look how many RBIs? He went over 50 RBIs.
51 RBIs.
This is quickest in history.
This is since June 9th. I mean, we're talking 2 months.
This could have been your blazing, too.
45 games.
You wrote down all your blazes.
Well, look at this. That's
crazy. It's on there. So you guys.
Yordan Alvarez was also on my blaze, and I just left him out, so I let you get it.
And I got to give a quick shout out to Elizabeth, New Jersey, representing in the Little League World Series. They destroyed New York yesterday in the regional finals. I love when I get to say that New Jersey kicked New York's ass.
Oh, man.
New Jersey has a World Series title.
They have quite a few. You know, my Little League actually won the Little League World Series.
They have.
My brother's also. Two different Little Leagues right next to each other where I grew up one. But, yeah, they blow out New York yesterday 17-5. New York looked like they were the real deal, and they ran into the freight train from Elizabeth, the E-Town.
And nothing's better for New Jersey when they beat a team from New York.
That's fantastic. That's the big
ordeal. All right, go ahead. You guys, we got to get Jose and Caleb in for blazing.
So I'm going to completely change gears here because it's been all about baseball for blazing. And I'm sorry, guys. But something that's blazing I couldn't ignore, Simone Biles, who's like the best gymnast ever. She just completed the first double-double as a dismount. So two rotations, two flips off of the balance beam. It's never been done before, and usually when you land something that's never been done before, it gets named after you. She's already had two moves named after her. So this will be the third, and it was seemingly the most impossible. I watched it, and it looks ridiculous that she was able to complete a double-double. If you haven't seen it, it might sound like it's not that big of a deal, but when you watch it, it's like, she did that? And it wasn't off the uneven bars. It was off of the beam.
And so that beam is like so thin.
She's
man.
Jumping,
it's,
and
it's
she does
crazy.
Flips before. She does a couple of backflips, back handsprings, and then jumps off this and does a double-double and sticks the landing. And it's like,
I'm amazed more gymnasts haven't been killed. I'm serious.
She's competing with herself at this point.
And that's it. It's been said.
Like her routines are already more difficult. And even if she doesn't get it, if the girls that she's competing against get a perfect score, her routine with flaws is still better than everybody else in the field. So at this point, she said it, and her coaches said it, and everybody said it. She's competing with herself. She doesn't have to keep adding
difficulty. Every time she competes, the bar raises,
right.
and it's her own bar.
And she's adding these difficult elements to her routine to compete with herself. And she's yet to, I guess, satisfy her own competitive itch, but she's in a class all her own right now.
I don't think people realize how difficult gymnastics and figure skating are. Like, when you're doing a move in those two sports that's never been done before.
No, it, absolutely.
You're badass.
Yeah, and she's got three of them now.
Yeah, it truly is incredible. And the amazing thing is the youth and how young gymnasts are when they start competing and doing these things. 12 and 13, I was watching skateboarding yesterday, and there's an 11-year-old young Asian girl competing in skateboarding, and she got the silver medal. She's 11, and the the oldest competitor's like 37.
Yeah.
I mean, you're 37 and you can't beat an 11-year-old. That's got to be frustrating as hell in any sport. Jose, what do you got, man?
Mine is just quick, man. Preseason football. I know it's only preseason football, but the Cleveland Browns look scary. If you see their two-minute drill that they started when the game started, not only that, without your top guns on the field, only Baker Mayfield, they look really scary. So I'm careful with Cleveland this year. That's
I
gotta say.
I'm looking forward to seeing the Browns. Chris, let's head to break, and when we come back, we're going to do some fact this, and we will be talking about the Las Vegas future NFL franchise.
Fact this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
It's a fact. Antonio Brown did not play in the Raiders' first preseason game yesterday and actually is threatening retirement if he is not allowed to wear his 10-year-old football helmet. This is the third dramatical incident AB has created in Oakland, and we're still a month away from the start of the regular season. Now, the guy sitting to my left, Caleb Herring, who played college football, is in agreement with Antonio Brown and thinks that he should be allowed to pick out the helmet he wants as long as it meets safety regulations, where they won't even test the helmet because it's over 10 years old. It is not one of the 34 options he has. It's not one of them. So he's going to stomp his feet and whine and not play football, even though he's going to make guaranteed over $30 million in the next two seasons. He's threatening to quit if he can't wear his helmet. Didn't he learn from his teammate last year, the running back that lost $14 million? You don't sit out seasons because you don't get that money back. You don't retrieve it.
Well, I mean, maybe he didn't learn that lesson, but I don't agree he should be talking about retiring over this, but I do agree that he should be able to wear the helmet he wants to wear. If it was legitimate last year, and just because some person thinks that these new helmets are going to prevent concussions at any different rate that his old helmet would have, I just don't think that that's a reasonable thing. And I think it's reasonable for him to say, I want to wear the helmet I've worn my whole career.
And let's get it straight. He's not talking about the same exact helmet for 10 years.
No,
he's talking about the same exact style of helmet.
There's a build of helmet. And as a player, I know it is a thing. But where where the way the helmet fits can bother you. The vision that you, the way you see out of the face mask, all of these things can bother you. I'm not saying it's worth $30 million. I'm going to put the helmet on if it's me, but I understand his gripe with it and not seeing the harm in wearing a helmet that he just wore last season.
There's 34 versions of helmets that you can wear. And, Caleb, at the highest level, even at the collegiate level now, in the Power 5 conferences, they're basically letting you customize the helmet to fit your head. Now, granted, you've got 34 styles to choose from. You're going to tell me there's not one in 34 styles that would be similar enough to what he wore, that's not going to impede his vision, that's not going to change his ability to be a top-notch wide receiver in the National Football League, and we're really going to raise a stink, and he's going to sit out of camp and have a sit out because he can't wear the helmet that he wants to wear. It just seems a bit over the top.
Well, it's speculation to say that none of the helmets are satisfactory. That's speculation. I don't know. I haven't tried on all 34, and I'm sure maybe he hasn't. But what I did, he's not sitting out of camp. He's practiced. Even, you know, with his foot injuries, he's practiced a couple times. And we
his
even
foot
saw
injuries. He did that. What is that? Thing?
And I'm going to say, I'm going to count those two, the hot air balloon and the cryptotherapy. I'm going to count. Those aren't really incidents. Those are accidents that happen.
Caleb,
he's
you're
trying
going
to better
and it's
himself.
Like, what is it? Minus?
He's trying to better himself with the best physical therapy that's out there. And he just made a mistake. So I'm not going to say that's him being a prima donna. That's just him making a mistake.
Is it
making
a mistake?
And the facility that allowed him to go into this thing without the shoes on. So that there's a lot of that's not an incident. The hot air balloon thing is cool. Like every year, there's a player on each team that pull up into camp.
What if all 102 guys going to camp decide to arrive on a hot air balloon?
All 102 guys can't afford to rent out a whole hot air balloon. But there's people that pulled up to camp this year in a NASCAR, like an actual stock car. There's people that pulled up to camp in an armored car with cash in the back. There's all kinds of stuff that it's a thing now, like around the NFL, where the top guys pull up to camp in style, and who can one up each other on other. So that's not those two aren't really things in my opinion. This is a thing. threatening retirement over this, way out of line. I think he's gone overboard with that part of it. But wanting to wear his own helmet that he's played his whole career in and being kind of strong-armed into saying, no, you're going to do what we tell you to do, that's the angle that I take on it that I'm just trying to put out. Because I've heard a lot of criticism of Antonio Brown, people literally calling this man crazy and insane because of this. And I don't think that's fair. I think if you were – I posted this on my Twitter account. If you were a journalist and you'd been using a certain laptop, like a MacBook, for instance, for your entire career, and you've been typing up your blogs or whatever you're doing on a laptop, and then all of a sudden your employer decided to say, no, we're going to cut – you can't use your MacBook anymore. We're gonna switch to Surface Pros. You can only use Surface Pros. Would there be any kind of complaints? You don't know how to use a Surface Pro. The whole layout's different. You've been using MacBook and doing great at it. You're doing Caleb, your job fine with a MacBook. Why can't you just keep using your MacBook?
Here's the difference. If you were a journalist that has been whining about the type of computer you've been getting and you're whining about this, if you are my thing is, if Antonio Brown had not been a diva to this point in his career, I think we'd actually be perking up and saying, wow, this guy's a quiet superstar that gets the job done and he's saying this affects him. We might look at it a little differently than a guy that is known for being volatile, a guy that's known for complaining as of late. Like I said this last night on Heatwave Sports. And by the way, I want to thank Tim Unglesby and Tommy Barton for having me help co-host the show last night. A lot of fun here on Fox Sports Radio. They'll be on again tonight from 10 to 1. But the whole thing is, I said this on the show last night, you know, Antonio Brown probably needs a new helmet. Because Caleb, are you going to look me in the face right now here on camera and tell me, here, we'll look at the Facebook Live, look right there, and you're going to tell me that his head is not a lot larger now than it was 10 years ago. He needs a new helmet.
Really?
You try being the best receiver in NFL for the past 5 years and not having a big head.
I'm not saying he doesn't have a right to have a big head. I'm saying it's a big head.
I'm
going to
stand up for Antonio Brown because I don't think he's been a diva his entire career. I think there's been incidents that have been questionable. Where, you know, the phone in the locker room during the speech, that was questionable. But outside of that, I think his quarterback has been just as much of a diva, if not more of a diva, when it comes. And so for there to be not as much drama as there was or could have been with that duo, I think is actually a compliment to his character. I don't think he's been – I think he's a workhorse. I think the guy is a great receiver and he works hard. So I appreciate him, and I think we should stop giving him such a hard time about stuff.
I agree with you.
I think that Antonio Brown is a great receiver. I love what he's done. I don't see pre-banana. I just see somebody showing off and having fun, man. Let him be. His numbers are spoken for himself. You know he's a Hall of Famer.
Prima donna. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, he poo-pooed Juju Smith-Schuster in Houston, in Pittsburgh, and I'm not going to say he's the same receiver, but come on, man. You guys are worked together, your teammates. Listen, here's what John Gruden had to say about Antonio Brown, and did you expect anything different?
There's been a lot of reports out there. I can't say I agree with all of them, certainly. But I support this guy. You know, I think that's what needs to be said. I don't know what anybody's writing or what anybody thinks, but this foot injury wasn't his fault. You know, this was a total accident, and it's a serious injury. I know some people are smarting at it, but it's really not a laughing matter. The guy was hurt. He was innocent. He didn't do anything wrong. And the helmet thing is a personal matter to him. You know, he has a strong feeling about what he's worn on his head, and we're supporting him. And we understand the league's position as well, so we're in a tough spot. And we hope Antonio is back here soon because he's exciting to be around. I'm excited. I got some plays for him. I hope we can start calling him.
Well, they've got some exciting plays for him. He's an exciting receiver, and I hope for all of our sake, especially with the Oakland Raiders coming to Las Vegas next year, that Antonio Brown gets his ass to camp. And, well, not to camp, he's there, but gets in uniform and decides to wear the helmet that he's required to wear and plays football, makes his $30 million and makes the NFL happy and makes everybody money. Listen, on the line right now, we're going to do the Las Vegas Aviators report. The Aviators have been playing some great baseball at one of the most beautiful, if not the most beautiful, AAA facility and minor league facility in the country out here in Summerlin, the Las Vegas ballpark. Joining us now, Jim Gemma, the media relations director for the Las Vegas Aviators. And Jimmy, thanks for correcting me, man, but the guy we talked about that hit that home run that tied the game for the Mets last night played here in Las Vegas last year, didn't he?
First of all, thanks for having me on, Caleb. It's always good listening to you on the broadcast with Russ for Rebel Football. Yeah, you know what's great is this first year we're with the A's, but you know we're still Mets fans here. 16, 17 players on the Mets roster right now played in AAA Las Vegas. Luis Guillorme did play here last year with the 51s, but Brian, I mean, we've been through this, you know, till we're blue in the face. Syndergaard, DeGrom, Conforto, Rosario, it just goes on and on. So hopefully the Mets will make the playoffs because there's a lot of ties here with them.
It's been so cool. I mean, I'll never forget a couple of years back when we were so fortunate down here to have a major league player for most of the season in Michael Conforto, a guy that helped the Mets out in the World Series when they nearly took out the Kansas City Royals. And we got to see Michael down here the following year for most of it as he got his bat back in gear. But you're talking about a guy that's been a couple-time All-Star now. And this is the kind of thing you get to see in Vegas when you're watching AAA. And there's a lot of these guys right now playing up at the Las Vegas ballpark for the Las Vegas Aviators that will eventually be Oakland A's, and we'll get to watch them succeed at the highest level.
Yeah, absolutely. A.J. Puck, sixth overall pick. He's in the bullpen right now for us, coming out Tommy John surgery. He pitched again last night. He's 6'7". He's got some great stuff. I guess hearing it's only days before he's probably going to get called up to help the A's with their wild card push. But obviously with the geographics this year, we've had a lot of A's players here on Major League Rehab, from Matt Olson to Stephen Piscotty. So, yeah, right now it's 22 games left. Las Vegas is a season high, 20 games over 500, and the El Paso trails them by one game. So it's probably going to go all the way down to the last weekend, which is 3 weeks from tomorrow, Labor Day itself.
El Paso and Vegas, the two of the premier teams in the Pacific Coast League. You guys are out of town right now. They're in Omaha. You got a four-game stint. They won last night 6-5, and they'll be playing again today at 3:05. And then the next 2 days, they're back in town, I believe, Thursday for $2 beer night. They'll be playing Albuquerque in a four-game stint, and then Reno following that. So an opportunity to get out to the Las Vegas ballpark. And, Jimmy, some of the promotions coming up.
Well, like you said, $2 beer night. As we stand today, there's 11 home games left. That seven-game homestand from the 15th to the 21st against Albuquerque and Reno. Of course, we have different mascots now. We have the Spruce bobblehead on Friday, and this coming Saturday, it's Aviators back-to-school backpack night and fan appreciation night to Labor Day weekend. We'll have another jersey night and, of course, itself fan appreciation night.
Appreciate it, Jimmy. Some great promotions out there, and I'll tell you what, again, if you haven't got a chance to make it out to Summerlin, to the brand new Las Vegas ballpark, you still got an opportunity, as Jim said. Do not miss this. Check this place out. It is all it is. It's like they shrunk a major league ballpark down to about 10,000 seats. Awesome. Jim Gemma, media relations director for the Las Vegas 51s. Hey, Jimmy, we appreciate your support this year. It's been awesome. This year and all the years you've supported the show and supported us here at Fox Sports Radio.
No, I always appreciate you having me on. We really do like to thank the fans. We're sitting at 544,000 fans, and I never thought we would say that figure over the air. So, I mean, we're leading all of AAA baseball in attendance. This probably is the biggest story in all of minor league baseball this year.
Without question, you got a chance to still get out there again. Jim Gemma, media relations director for the Las Vegas 51s. We appreciate you, Jimmy. And that is the Las Vegas 51s report, brought to you by the Las Vegas Aviators. I should say Las Vegas 51s. How's that, man? Long throwback, and they've been them for a long time. Really cool AAA franchise of the Oakland A's. And we'll be talking more about that. We got some tickets to give away one more time next Sunday, so make sure you tune in at your last chance of the year to win some Aviator tickets. This is Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman. Sitting to my left on your radio dial is former quarterback of the UNLV Rebels and current voice, color voice on ESPN, The Leader, our sister station here, Caleb Herring. And in front of me, I've got, behind the cell phone back there, Jose Sudden Death Vellante, and of course our producer, Chris Magnum Chapman. This is Fox Sports Radio, and we shall return. We are going to be talking about mayhem in Mesquite. You want to know what that is? Stick around. I like the time on the clock, 8:44. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights. Behind the wheels of steel back there in the microphone, wearing an old-school Montreal Expos hat, is producer extraordinaire Chris Magnum Chapman. To his left, cell phoning and doing everything else, man. The man that does it all, Jose Vellante, of course, Caleb Herring, my co-host, and a guy that tries to keep me in line, even though I'm always going to be out of line. And my left, I should say my right on your radio dial. Let me get my hands straight. Here I've got Jeff Myers, the CEO of Tough Enough, something that's been around for a while. Amateur mixed martial arts fighters around the region are going to battle it out inside the Casablanca Event Center tomorrow night. Or not tomorrow night. Next Saturday, 1 week from yesterday.
Correct, yeah.
And Jeff, pretty cool, man. Your second event in the past 6 weeks. And I want to also mention one of my good friends, a person we haven't seen in a while, Julie Samuelson, who brought you in with Quillen Advertising Public Relations. We really appreciate you. Julie in studio. Has been a while since you've sat in studio in this building, so really cool as well. And she showed up with Jeff. But Jeff, an awesome event. This has been around for a while. And I want to call it kind of a pretty good kept secret in Las Vegas. People need to kind of expose this because you're seeing future stars. Somebody like Ronda Rousey has been part of Tough Enough in the past. And if you don't know her name, well, you're probably not listening to this show, right?
Yeah, thank you very much. I agree that Tough Enough's an awesome event, and I feel like it is somewhat of a, let's call it a hidden gem or a secret, if you will. But those that have attended Tough Enough's have seen the likes of Ronda Rousey, another more recent notable example of like a main event fighter for the UFC that started with Tough Enough was Aspen Ladd. She was fighting for the main event a couple of UFCs ago. And we have had over 37 fighters that started with Tough Enough and then progressed on to the UFC. There's even way more that have gone on to many other professional fight leagues. But it's a big feather in our cap when we get to see a fighter that started with us make it to their, you know, lifelong dream, which is usually to fight for the UFC.
Tell me something. This week, we got next Saturday, guys that people haven't heard of. You're familiar with this. You run the show. Give me a name or two that I can expect to potentially hear or see down the road.
Oh, definitely. Thanks for asking. There's a couple. For example, the main event is between Taylor Thompson and Lanisha Vinson, two really tough girls. They're coming out of Massachusetts and South Carolina. So Tough Enough is not just a local affair. We bring in the top regional talent from across the country. And I would argue that these two girls are definitely going to be, like, let's call them future stars of MMA. I'd also like to call attention to Brandi Buckley.
There it is.
This is an outstanding Brazilian jiu-jitsu star, trains locally here. And I've come to understand recently, that just a few minutes ago, that her husband works with our esteemed colleague and co-host right here.
That's right. At Brandi Buckley, that was my shout out. I was going to mention her name because she's one of the local homegrown people that have coming from this area. So if you want a connection to what you're watching out there at the Mayhem, then you have one with Brandi, somebody to go root for that's from Las Vegas. So it's really a unique experience to be able to do that with somebody that you know and that you've grown up with and watch them grow and to watch them train and then to see them get some sort of pay dirt out of it and be on that kind of stage and then potentially go further than that. That's awesome. So Brandi Buckley, shout out to you.
You know, I'm just waiting, and Caleb's looking at me. I see his eyes get big. He knows what's coming next. So is this a challenge? I mean,
no, it's not
are we challenging Brandi Buckley?
No,
I mean,
not a
you
challenge.
Challenged Asia Wilson
no,
of the WWE. He said he could beat her in a game in one-on-one.
You
Asia
said
Wilson.
It.
I said
she can beat me.
I said
and
she
I
could,
said
I still
no,
say
she
can beat you.
That's
still,
all it was.
Okay, and now I'm just asking. So since we've got these, why not challenge Brandi Buckley?
I don't challenge people to fights.
Okay.
Well, she is a Brazilian
jiu-jitsu. I'm not a fighter. Yeah, I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Okay.
And I just...
I like it. Caleb, you knew it was coming, though, don't you?
I knew it was coming.
Okay. I just want to make sure you did. He is Jeff Myers, CEO of Tough Enough, and we are talking about Mayhem in Mesquite, which is taking place next weekend. The fun-filled weekend will kick off on Friday, and I'm reading the press release, so I'm not making this up as I go. And that is at 6 o'clock. The weigh-ins in the Grand Ball room and live remotes featuring Coney the Hawk 96X and Juan Radio. Those are some great names, by the way. Following the weigh-ins, a Masters of Puppets tribute to Metallica concert will take the Casablanca showroom at 8:30. Wow, so there's a lot of stuff going on. And then the following night in the Casablanca Vet Center, the doors open at 6 o'clock and the fights begin at 7. Once the main event is over, the official Mayhem in Mesquite after party will begin at 10 o'clock. It says DJ Jimmy Z will be there at the Casablanca showroom, and general admission tickets are $15. VIP seating tickets are available as well. And again, if you want to purchase tickets or get more information on Mayhem and Mesquite. It is Mayhem and Mesquite. I should say this is number 7, right?
17.
17. Let me get my Roman numeral straight.
Yeah, I can't read those either.
Yeah, I got it. I was waiting Caleb to help me out here, but of course he didn't. Or you can give him a call at 800-585-3737. And anyone under 18 must be accompanied by an adult 18 years of older. So a way to get tickets. And again, if you are watching us on Facebook Live, or if you are not, here's the way we're doing this today. I'm going to make it easy on Mags back there so he doesn't have to answer the phone. All you got to do is comment on Facebook Live today, and we will give you a pair of tickets to Mayhem in Mesquite for next weekend. Compliments of Jeff Meyer, the CEO, and we appreciate that, man. That's really cool.
My pleasure. Thanks for the support and talking about it. I'd like to mention a couple other things that are really exciting.
Absolutely.
That are also happening. Like you mentioned, there's a whole bunch of stuff. We make it a whole weekend with this Metallica tribute band and DJ Jimmy Z at the after party. I'd also like to acknowledge my matchmaker, Bruce Smith, the guy that gets the fighters and matches them up. He's marrying the love of his life in the Tough Enough cage at intermission during this event. It's like
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be really, I think, an awesome
See,
exciting
there's love
experience.
Involved in fighting.
Oh my God!
There's love involved.
You found a niche.
I mean, typically the guys and girls are going to beat each other up, and then they're going to hug, and you'll see a lot of love in the Tough Enough cage. This is on a more of a what do you call it, matrimonial level,
right? And the matchmaker gets married.
Yeah,
right? That's the theme.
It's the theme, and it's really going to be fun and exciting because the crowd in Mesquite has really become so supportive of the events. They're like some of the most energetic crowds that we see, right? So I feel as if when the matchmaker gets married in the cage, they're going to be really supportive. Well, I sure hope so anyway. I'd also like to say hello to my cousin, Adam Noodleman, who's listening out of Chicago on his computer right now.
Well, that's cool. Well, hey, Adam, we always appreciate out-of-state listeners as well. Again, he is Jeff Meyer, CEO of Tough Enough and Mayhem in Mesquite 17 taking place this weekend. Friday night, everything kicks off the action up at Casablanca. Metallica band is going to be there. Not the Metallica band, but it's a mock band of Metallica. And you've got all kinds of great stuff going on. Tickets available. And like Jeff said, they're going quickly. Get involved and you can get something free right now on Facebook Live. Real quickly, as I mentioned, I got a chance on Friday night after the Las Vegas Aces took a real tough one, man. It was a tough loss. Bill Laimbeer, not the happiest guy afterwards. And I got a chance in the locker room to talk to Asia Wilson after the game, the person that Caleb Herring is going to beat in the game on one-on-one eventually. But she's trying to heal up. The ankle, she says, is just about better. And I'll tell you what, they have been really struggling to get off to a start. And the Aces' biggest problem, they've been getting down by double digits as early as in the first quarter, something that's going to have to change. And obviously, when Asia Wilson gets back, that will change. Real tough loss tonight. I know sitting there watching it has to be even tougher.
Yeah. I mean, every loss is going to be a tough one for me, for all my teammates as competitors. But, you know, we got a big game ahead of us on Sunday that we need to just regroup and focus on. 24-hour rule.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling great.
What do you think time-wise?
I wish I could tell you. If I knew, I guess I'll try to speed it up. But right now, I just got to make sure that my ankle's 100%. I don't want to give my teammates less of 100%, so I have to make sure that I'm healthy and ready.
Bill talked about the slow starts and that something's got to change. And obviously, you being in there, we'll get some buckets up front. And he mentioned, you know, that would really be helpful. But what else do you think it takes? Because obviously, you can't get down by double digits in the first half. That just really puts the pressure on you guys and you use up so much energy coming back.
Yeah, I think that's just the biggest thing. We can't dig ourselves in a hole, especially, you know, against good teams and especially just teams in our league, period. They're really good, so we can't dig ourselves in a hole because it's 10 times harder trying to get out of the hole. So we just got to keep coming out with a lot more energy, using the crowd, using the home court advantage.
How about the people, you know, a lot of players had to pick it up with you out, and like tonight, Sugar hitting some outside shots. Yeah. That's key for you guys.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. And, I mean, that's the sign of a good team. Even though we lost, we still have people that are stepping up in the right times, in the right moments. Just got to get all of our pieces to the puzzle back together, and we'll be good.
Second, the last stretch, the home stretch is coming up right here. What do you guys got to do to really put yourself in a good position into going into the postseason?
Just focus on the little things. I think we have a talent is on paper. It's going to show up always, but just the little things, the box outs, the not turning the ball over, getting just the momentum back into our hands, and focus on the little things, and we'll be fine.
How important is defense going to be if you guys are going to make a deep run?
Oh, yeah. Defense is going to be key in everything, in winning a championship and just winning games, period, in our league. So defense is huge. I think we're one of the best defensive teams in the league. We just got to continue to keep it up.
Yeah, they've got to play great defense, and that's something that Bill Laimbeer preaches, that Chuck Daly, his mentor, preached when he was playing for the Detroit Pistons. And as we all know, man, the oldest cliche in sports, defense wins championships. And the Las Vegas Aces, that is one thing they do, is they play very sound defense. And getting Asia Wilson back is going to do tremendous. And I'll tell you what, Chris, you know, you've been to a decent amount of games. Caleb, I know you haven't been out there
yet.
I've
watched games.
You've seen a couple games. I'll tell you what, Liz Cambage is about as good as it gets, man. This woman, when she decides she's going to play tough, she is just an unstoppable force. And we saw Dolson and her going at it when they played Chicago on Friday night. What a great game that was. And you want to talk about two Warriors underneath. You know, when I see stuff like that, when I see battling in the post like that, I don't care what basketball it is, men's, women, college, high school, it's a lot of fun when you see two big people going at it like that. And Campage and Dolson were doing it. It was awesome, man. It was really cool. You weren't at the game Friday, but...
No. But you know what I did see? I saw Brittany Griner got into it last night with
someone. She did got into a fight last night.
Whoop some ass.
Her and... Who did she fight?
I'm not sure who she was fighting, but she was running down that court chasing that girl.
Oh, she got tossed from the game. And I will tell you what, Brittany Griner's a big woman, man. You do not want to mess with her. And I saw it, too. The benches, they were over by the scorer's table, man. It got a little bit nasty.
You don't really see that too often in the WNBA where there's...
I haven't seen a lot of fights among women in sports to begin with.
Well,
it's something a little bit unusual.
What you do notice, and people who don't watch the WNBA a lot or people who haven't been to a game, when Vegas plays Seattle, go to that game.
Physical.
You could tell they don't like each other.
There's something there.
There is something there. And like the last time they played Seattle, I was like, man, it's going to boil over. There's going to be, because there were some hard fouls. Kelsey Plum got slapped in the face. There was another hard foul down at the other end. So, you know, I mean, that's a rivalry, and that's good. And you know what? I want more of that in sports. I want more animosity.
Don't you just love it? Like, I don't want you to like people as much when you're competing against
them. Honestly, like when UNLV plays Reno, I want to see someone get their ass whooped on Reno.
Hey, you know, of course. Thing with the San Jose Sharks and the Golden Knights right now. It's great.
The key is, I just want to see more retaliation. Like hard fouls happen in
all games. He's talking about love a half hour ago.
I'm not soft here. I just don't want to fight a UFC fighter. That's it.
Love in retaliation.
I'm not trying to prove anything in the sport of fighting. That's all. But when it comes to rivalry games in sports, like basketball, football, whatever.
I agree. With 100%.
If there's a hard foul by your rival against one of your guys, there should be retaliation.
It's like if somebody gets hit by a pitch in baseball.
Not even a rival.
I'm the guy where when I played, if you went after one of my teammates, I didn't care who it was.
You better be looking over your shoulder.
Yep. 100%.
I'll hit your ass dirty. I don't care.
It's as simple as this in baseball. When somebody gets hit, the guy, the next team comes up and somebody gets some chin music.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the way it is. That is retaliation, and there is a spot for that in every sport. I agree 100%. Listen, real quickly, Aces in action again today at 3 o'clock out at the Mandalay Bay Event Center. Get out there. Not many games left, and they are fighting to be the best team in the WNBA, and it's going to be fun down the stretch. Real quickly, as we wrap up the show, guys, one thing I did want to talk about was the rule changes in the National Football League. As we get into the preseason, we're seeing it now. They are going to be able to challenge pass interference for or against. Caleb shaking his head. You know what? If you were going to challenge whether a guy trapped a ball or not, and you could see that, why in the hell? Here's the thing. With the pass interference penalty especially, it is the one penalty that can change the outcome of a game, because if an official throws a flag in the end zone, a team gets four shots from the 1 yard line. That is weight, especially at the end of a game. We have seen those calls change the outcome of so many games, including one of the championship games last year, and a team was the recipient of not getting a call, and they go to the Super Bowl.
Because I think you're going to see a lot of teams exploit that rule now.
And you know what I think you're going to see a lot of?
You're going to see the games be extended, right?
There's pass interference on just about every play, and I think what you're going to see a lot of is people not being able to get away with it. So defenders are going to be hurt the most by this, obviously, because there's pass interference on every play. And I think offenses are going to know that, and they're going to just challenge everything that has to do a questionable call. I think human error is a part of the game, and they got to leave it there.
I think we're going to finally see what pass interference is clearly defined on the football field rather than just in the rule book. Hey, I'm Brian Feldman. I want to thank Chris Chapman, our producer, Jose Vellante, my co-host, Caleb Herring. I also want to thank Jeff Meyer and Julie Samuelson, and of course, Asia Wilson and Jimmy Gemma. Appreciate you all. This is Out of Line. We're here every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Back next week. I won't be here, but Jose and Caleb will carry the ship. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.